Hello everyone, thank you very much for tuning in to the Lib Dem podcast. Just a quick message from myself, John, just to let you know that the upcoming episode with Tom Morrison, which is absolutely fantastic, was recorded about a week ago. I just wanted to do a little pre-pod announcement that we obviously are going to continue doing as many pods as possible, especially given the news that last night the lockdown has gone into effect and a lot of you will be at home. If you do want to get in contact with us, please do. You know, if you want to come on the pod, let us know. But most importantly of all, you, your family and your friends, stay safe, look after yourself, stay at home, and we'll get through this. Okay, on with the pod. Hello and welcome to the Lib Dem podcast, and I am in the beautiful suburbs of Cheadle with our target candidate, Tom Morrison. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good. How are you, mate?
I'm all right. Well, the first question we should get on to, because this is our first podcast in a while, we're going to record one with Richard Kemp as well, is what have you been up to? You know, it's been, you know, a few months in the general election, and just to give context, the local elections have just been called off.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to these last few months?
There's been hardly any time to relax, really. So we had the election, then we had a bit of a break for Christmas, but a lot of that break was planning for the local elections. And then back in January, it was knocking on doors, delivering leaflets, picking up casework, catching up on all the kind of council stuff we may have missed during the general election. And then, because of yesterday's announcement, it's suddenly like, oh, you know, well, we've got no elections to be fighting for. There's no football that's going to be on the TV. So it's all a bit of an odd situation. Yes.
So that is why we did have a break in the podcast as well, because like Tom, being a councillor, as soon as you get into the start of the year, you start thinking about your council budgets and all that. And then as soon as you do your council budgets, you're into the local election. So it's just been a lack of time. But now we have freedom for this month. Although, I know, some people would say it's a shame for the local election to be cancelled, but we'll talk a little bit about that. But first of all, we should direct all listeners that if you want to follow Tom, please do go onto Twitter. It's Thomas Morrison.
Yeah, that's right.
It's very formal.
Very formal.
Did your mum set up your Twitter account for you?
I was feeling very formal at the time, John. You know, so that was it.
Yeah. And of course, follow everything to do with the Lib Dem podcast at Lib Dem Pod. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and our Facebook page. You can follow myself at John Potter LD. And if you really want to follow Richard, you can do it at Councillor Kemp. Because Tom's here, and for those of you that don't know, Tom was our target candidate in the Cheadle seat in December, which was I think it is now anyway, and I think it might have been the same when the election. It was our seventh place.
It was number eight.
Was it eight?
You've gone up one.
Although you reduced the Tory majority by half, pretty much.
Yeah.
We weren't able to take that seat. And I remember doing a podcast before the general election saying seats like Hazelgrove and Cheadle would be a bellwether really for how the Lib Dems doing this general election. But we're here to talk about your experiences as a target candidate. What happened in that general election? So, I mean, where to start from? Let's talk about your selection. Let's go right back to start. So, I mean, with Mark Hunter no longer being a candidate, so how did the selection process go for you?
Well, it's a bit of a strange one. So I knew Cheadle because I've been involved in Northwest politics, well, Northwest Liberal Democrat politics for a while, and I knew Cheadle, I knew some of the characters here. And Carla and I had moved to the area just because we got priced out, basically, of like living in South Manchester. And then we got involved, so I was really involved in Claire Halliwell's campaign here and such forth. And then Mark made the decision not to stand. And a couple of people said, you know, is this a thing that you want to put your name in for? And that was basically it. And then my feet just didn't touch the ground. It was just, you know, it was a lot of organising, a lot of shaking hands, a lot of... And it was a really tough selection campaign because there were some brilliant candidates that went for it, absolutely brilliant candidates. And it was a strange one because it was... I think selection campaigns are really strange because you fight it with passion and you fight it because you do believe you're the best person for the seat. But you're all mates.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be very kind of, it is very careful, you've got to be very careful with the whole thing.
And we're seeing that a little bit with the leadership election now, actually. Yeah. It's how hard you throw that punch.
Exactly.
Because you want to say, I am better than X for this reason, but actually you don't want to say, actually, he's an absolute waste of space, or she's not worthy, or yeah. something like that. It's very, very difficult.
It is. It's really difficult. But also, I think the beauty of selection campaigns is the one time where you can really be a Liberal Democrat and talk about Liberal Democrat things. Yes, yeah. You know, so
you talk about land value tax and everyone knows all the what time. You're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We can talk about proportional representation, we can talk about Trident, and you know, all these kind of big things where actually it's you're talking about what it means to be a Liberal Democrat and what it means to be a Liberal Democrat. And this was when Theresa May was still Prime Minister and Brexit was kind of stumbling. So it was very kind of topical.
So when did the selection actually take place?
So the selection happened in October 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So at the time, I suppose, as we went into 2019, we had the excellent local election results, excellent European results.
Yeah.
Did you think, oh, Carla, yeah. get ready. You might need to buy a few more frocks or something like that.
No. I've got to say, we did, after the local election results and the Euros, we had Vince come up for, because he did like a kind That's of dinner, way. His good yeah, yeah goodbye dinners and stuff, and he said, you know, we were just chatting, and he was like, you know, fully expecting Cheadle to get over the line here, and that was, you know, when you've got someone like I've looked up to for years yeah. saying that, and you just go, right, okay, this is a bit of an interesting, this could change things. And then we started getting in-seat polls and all this kind of stuff that pointed into a right direction. So it does wake you up to that. Mm. So I started off this process going into when I got selected with, like, you know, this is going to be a 10-year project.
Yeah.
Because that's...
Well, that's winning, sensible. That, and that's, yeah. that's what we say about people who are getting into local elections as well, don't we? Say, look, plan not for one election, plan absolutely. For two or three.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, let's be honest, no one becomes a Liberal Democrat candidate because it's a fantastic job opportunity, yeah, yeah. you know?
Power and money yeah, yeah. aren't the big influences.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. You've got to really believe in it, and you've got to plan for it as well. And we know that Cheadle has got ample opportunity. You know, it's been held previously by two fantastic Liberal Democrat MPs. At the moment, there's a not-so-great Conservative MP. But it's a very kind of, you go around the area, there are lots of liberal-minded people. There are people who probably class themselves as small C conservative, mm-hmm. but actually I would probably think kind of big L liberals as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a perfect area, but it's going to be a lot of work to win it, you know. And so there was an opportunity, but not completely disheartened that we didn't get across the line this time.
So what do you think happened in the general election to stop us taking it? Because, you know... Because it wasn't the area I thought we would take it as the campaign went on.
Yeah.
And obviously the campaign didn't hit its yeah. straps in terms of what we wanted for, and people have all sorts of reasons, that whether that was the revoke policy, whether it was Joe just not coming across mm. as well as what we had hoped. And I speak as someone, I've said previously, who voted for Joe, you know, yeah. and she was on all my leaflets and everything like that, but whatever happened, she didn't really cut across
yeah.
in as to the general public as she does to the Lib Dems. But what happened here?
I think that you've named two of them. I think revoke certainly was an issue. I think, weirdly, Stop Brexit cut through in mm. a positive way, because yeah. it played into that, oh, I'm tired of this, can we just stop it? But yeah. actually revoke became quite technocratic. It became like a, oh, hang on, is that anti-democratic? Is that, you know, it wasn't the right, it didn't land.
I'm not sure if it was, because obviously I wasn't at conference when conference decided, and a lot of people, again, blame Joe and the campaigns team for this, mm. but actually, you know, conference decided to do it. But at the time, conference, we were looking at a no deal
yeah.
kind of crash out
yeah, yeah.
when that came about. And I think maybe the fault was not being able to pivot.
Yeah.
As soon as Johnson got that deal, maybe that was the point yeah. to say, you know, we should have just stuck with people's vote, mm-hmm. and that's what we'll go into the general election for. But it's frustrating because, you know, was it 6 point something million people signed the petition for a vote, and we only got 4 million of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that the agility thing that you've mentioned there is a really good point about the whole election. I think when it was clear that, for me personally, when it was clear that revoke wasn't landing, people were buying into the Conservatives' get Brexit done message.
Yeah.
Actually, our message should have changed. And it did eventually, but it should have changed to stop Boris.
Yeah.
And I think that was a...
How would that have played in a Tory-facing seat? Because you can imagine that working, you know, in Sheffield Hallam or somewhere like that, where we were trying to fight Labour.
Mm.
But how would you think that would have landed a Stop Boris kind of message?
So it is... Listen, you're balancing a fine line there, because you do need to win over some soft Conservatives. Yeah. But actually, I thought they were coming through to us anyway. So I think the two things that we lost... in Cheadle, we lost. There were old Liberal Democrat voters who just did not agree with us on a revoke. It was just a step too far. There were a percentage of Conservatives that didn't want Jeremy Corbyn, and that's why. But my take on that is they were likely to vote Conservative anyway. Mm. If they're against the Labour leader, they're generally against it. But also, I think there is. It ended with, in Cheadle, there were too many Labour voters.
Yeah.
There were just too many Labour
voters. And just to let listeners know, so what the results were was the Conservatives got 46% of the vote and 25,500 votes. You got just over 23,000 with 42% of the vote, which is monster. But the Labour Party got nearly 7,000, even though their vote share dropped by nearly 7%. That was enough to make sure the Tories got over the line.
And you know what? The Labour Party were door knocking in Cheadle on polling day when they were losing Highpeak.
Yeah, and this is what... And I've said this on a previous podcast, how angry I was at Labour. Because it wasn't just a... And this is going to be... I'm not against some of the Lib Dems who are saying, you know, we want to work with Labour and things like that. Because I'm a pluralist. I believe in working together with other parties. I don't believe the Lib Dems have the answers to everything.
Mm.
But... when you see Labour acting like they did, where they were happy to screw over Lib Dem candidates for no other reason but basically to spite, because they'd rather have a Labour versus Tory fight across the country than acknowledge any sort of other party, whether that's us, Greens, SNP, whatever, it becomes very difficult to want to deal with them.
Yeah.
Because ultimately they believe they are the select brethren.
Yeah. Well, I think, and this is the interesting thing. So in the kind of the campaign for the general election, I met a whole host of people from different parties who are voting for us this time because of Brexit mainly. But then there was a group of like Labour supporters who were suddenly very open to voting for us to stop the Conservatives. And I think that they'd parked issues around the coalition and things like that. We even had some Labour members from from Manchester and the surrounding area coming and helping on our campaign. Sure. So there is a group of Labour Party members who are open to that idea.
The more moderate.
But what I'd say was there was a degree of the council base in Stockport. Mm. That was where the problem came from. And actually, we've got, just in the last budget we had on the council, we tried to put an amendment through to create a climate change emergency fund. And Lisa Smart, who's our deputy leader, was leading on it. And the way we were positioning it was a true way to kind of build cross-party support so we could do that. And Labour voted it down, right? And do you think, I remember speaking to some of them in the hallway and they were like, well, we had to do it because it was you lot that put it.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean? It's like, you know, but... We are where we are, aren't we?
But it is going to be an interesting what happens with Labour, because what happens with the Labour leadership is going to just depend on where the direction they go as well. Mm. So, I mean, it obviously looks like Keir Starmer is going to win.
Yeah.
We think, I mean, it's still another, I don't know, eon before the Labour leadership contest is done. But do you think if he drags them back to the centre, now... he's not like a Tony Blair where he'll have more control over the party, because he won't. I mean, the levers of power in Labour Party have still got a lot of Corbynistas in there.
Yeah.
But how we deal with Labour, so things like what happened in Cheadle don't happen again.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of talk of the Paddy Ashdown, Tony Blair non-aggression pact. Mm. So we still stood candidates and in seats where we were fighting each other, we still went hell for leather and all the rest of it. But actually, there wasn't a kind of open hostility on the airwaves between Lib Dems and Labour. But that it'll be interesting that, because I think the Labour Party is very flat at the moment.
Mm.
They don't understand what happened.
Yeah,
I mean the Corbynistas are blaming everything but you know themselves.
Mm.
But where Labour go, because we are aligned with them. There's no, you know, successful Labour Party generally leads to a successful Lib Dem Party.
Yeah.
And that can be frustrating for people like myself and you.
Well, absolutely.
But that's the truth of it. And, you know, while the Tories have a united centre-right and right-wing road, it's very difficult to knock them off that perch.
But I think it's interesting. So, as we were talking about before we started, I used to be a councillor in Liverpool. I cut my political teeth in Liverpool, really. And let's not forget that we won control over Liverpool City Council under a Blair government.
Yeah.
So,
well, that kind of leans to my point, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's... So there is, I think it's absolutely right. We need to find a way of working, not just with the Labour Party, but kind of other progressive parties, because we can't lose the idea that we are a progressive party. Mm. You know, we are a party of, you know, generally of the centre, I think, but we do have centre-left leanings, And I think that's it. I think that's important that we need to, and I think you summed it up perfectly, that the non-aggression pact, it doesn't mean that we have to be part of a progressive alliance. It doesn't mean that we have to kind of share the same platforms and stuff. There were times, I've got to say, there were times where I'd see some of our MPs in the general election, you know, kind of just jumping on Jeremy Corbyn's head.
Yeah.
And I understand why they were doing it, but I just thought, everyone else is doing it. We don't need to. Yeah. And sometimes you get that on the door.
It is very difficult. I mean, like, so yourself when you're in Liverpool and me in Preston, that when I think the Labour group, and in Preston it's particularly vicious, Labour group, they're punching you in the face so often, they're attacking you so often that it's very difficult not to get your heckles up and to throw a few punches of your own, figuratively, I should point. we're not in
Preston politics.
Everyone's going, wow, Preston's rough. But and it can be very, very different, and it is the balance we've got to do. Like I said, and we're not, and I can understand why we get stuck, because as soon as you say, you're not going to win an election outright, which is why Joe and the campaigns team did that, I'm campaigning to be Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Because if you say you're not doing that, the next question is always, okay, who would you rather be with, Labour or Tory? And then you screw half of your base.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It is very, very difficult. But I'm interested, going back to the general election. So I was very surprised while campaigning that seeing Labour people jumping straight across to the Tories in places like Hazel Grove, where I was on polling day. So how was that? Did you see much of that? Or
the first time it really... So we spotted it a couple of times, but nothing massive.
Mm.
But it was on polling day.
Yeah.
That was... So we were in my ward, actually, Cheadle Hume North, and myself, and I was out with Mike Storey. He came to help on the day. And we were knocking in an estate in my ward, which is generally where we, you know, we'll pick up votes, you know, tactical voting.
Mm.
And the amount of people that were either telling us who they weren't voting for or saying, oh, I'm voting for Boris.
Yeah.
And it was Mike turned around to me and went, this is 1983. This is exactly what happened, 1983. And it was then you just realise, well, what Boris has done is he's captured the working class vote, you know, or the, you know, quote unquote working class vote. And that was the first time I saw that really come out. And it was about then that I thought, right, we're not going to get across the line this time.
But it's interesting because the Tory vote didn't go up massively in your patch. I mean, the Tory vote went up by, 1.5% in your patch. But it was, I mean, that 1.5% is still annoying.
Yeah, yeah, frustrating,
And so, but, you kind of saw, I mean, if there was at any point in the campaign where you think, this isn't going to happen.
So it was. So I'll tell you what, the weird thing about this is throughout the campaign, we would come out after a 2 hours, 3 hours of canvassing and go, that didn't feel good.
Mm.
That didn't feel good. But then you'd look at the stats and go, yeah, but we still won the canvass. We still smashed it there. But so we couldn't work out. There was a real disconnect between the data coming back and actually how it felt on the door. But if you look back at it, actually what we did in Cheadle with the hard results is we got the second highest Lib Dem vote that's ever been recorded in Cheadle with its current boundary.
Yeah.
So actually, when we were knocking on the door, looking at the data, it was saying people are voting for you.
Yeah.
But actually what we were getting as well was that it's not quite enough people were voting for us.
Because turnout was less than 1% higher than what it was in 2017. So there wasn't like a major uplift, which...
It wasn't massive churn, no.
No, and I think maybe that's frustrating for us as well.
Yeah,
And I don't know, obviously you were the target candidate. Do you feel that was an opportunity missed, or do you think, you know, 4 years' time, you think, right, we've got the base now? I mean, it's very easy in the seats where we've suddenly jumped from third to second for them to get the lift, say, look, we are now the main opposition.
Yeah.
Lib Dems have always been either the opposition or the party here. So how are you dealing with the general election now?
So listen, I was selected as the parliamentary candidate like less than a year before the general election was called. If someone had turned around to me and said, within a year's time, you'll have name recognition across the constituency, and you'll have, rather than a 4,000 gap, it'll be a 2,000 gap, you know, I probably would have taken it.
Mm.
Like, listen, you're disappointed that you didn't win. The team, the team were gutted, because the team here was fantastic. It became the fun campaign. What I like to say, it was became the fun campaign. We had people come over from across the country, like, more than once. You know, I heard some MPs were telling me like that their organisers were badging them, saying, listen, we're going to win here. Can we go to Cheadle? It looks hilarious. You know, so it was a great campaign. We built an amazing team. We were gutted not to get across the line. I'd be lying but it's certainly not an opportunity missed. Because if you start thinking about that, then you become bitter.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that is just no way we're going to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
So, we got the second best result. I think that's, you know, we've got really good name recognition. We've got a team that have been bedded in. So this is the first time my agent, Mark Jones, who was incredible, it's the first time he's ever agented a general election. So, I mean, he's now the expert, you know, all of this kind of stuff. So, and we've got the scars.
Yeah.
And we know, you know, we're going to take it on.
It's not how you fall, it's how you pick yourself up.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't know if I've said this on the pod, but my first ever proper campaign I did for council, so obviously no way comparable to what you went through, but I lost by less than 1%.
Oh,
you know, it's 52 votes was in it after a 2-year campaign against the then Labour leader of the council, and it just, you know, and you are utterly at the time, but you think, okay, I've taken my licks, look what I did, take the good things, move on from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm very much a kind of Richard Branson-esque thing. He said, it's only a failure if you don't learn from it.
And
that's what I think. I mean, we're going to do a separate podcast about where we think the future for the Lib Dems is go from here. But we're in a place where we can either stop doing it, feel sorry for ourselves, and let the Tories have 10 years or 9 years of government. Or we can, because Labour is never going to win this seat in Cheadle. We are the people. If the Tories are going to lose a majority in 4 years' time, it'll be places like Cheadle that change. Yeah, so we've got to keep going.
Yeah, completely. And that's the only thing you can do.
Yeah.
It's the only thing. If one thing you about being a Liberal Democrat, you've got to get used to losing.
Yeah.
You've got to get used to losing, and you've got to learn how to stop losing.
Yeah.
So, and that's the way forward.
Can we go back again to, because I'm interested in what it was like, and I'm sure hopefully the listeners will be interested in knowing as well, during the campaign, what kind of stuff did you get from HQ? Because obviously, I think most people listening to this will know what the ground level kind of campaign is. With me and Richard and others have talked about that a lot. So what kind of feedback did you get? You were talked about in polling or things like that from HQ. What kind of came through HQ?
So we had some incredible support. So they paid for a national organiser who was it was basically a member of staff that would kind of deal with like the more national aspects of the campaign, and that was Lottie Thornton, who was incredible. Again, someone that it's pretty much straight out of university, straight into a job, and she was an absolute godsend. Then we had some really good literature come out. We had some less than great literature, but we had there were some letters that they put out, you know, to squeeze voters and things. And then we had kind of just party staff offering advice and strategic input. And then towards like when it was clear after that kind of MRP poll came out, it was like, right, this is where the battlegrounds are. Then we got more of an influx. So Claire Halliwell came and based herself here. She was on leave. She had to take leave to come and do it help. But, you know, and then she kind of ran the last 2 weeks. And then a chap from Liverpool called Pete Rainford was kind of drafted in to come and help as well. So we had all these kind of brains.
Pete Rainford's parents live in my ward.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's from good Lib Dem stock, is that what?
Yeah, he is. Absolutely is.
No, but that's really interesting, because it's kind of one thing we don't always see is there's a lot of criticism always gets levelled at the National Party.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of sympathy for the National Party because the National Party isn't going to win you an election.
Yeah.
They can, A, not get in the way is the key.
That's the key,
And keep us in the air war.
Yeah.
And that's it. But actually, me and you know the ground war is what wins elections.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And so it is. So is your feeling that that Lib Dems are putting too much emphasis on what the party in Westminster does?
Oh, 100%. 100%. The whole idea of a presidential election, which I think we started with, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. And it wasn't only us trying it. The Labour Party tried it as well. And, I think there is a problem there. I think we do rely too much on... I wouldn't say it's a complacency, but ever since Clegg Mania, I think that we're too willing to kind of look at the air war and say, you know, this is having too much of an influence.
But Clegg Mania is a class. I mean, I've read Nick Clegg's book recently, the one... the In Between Extremes book that he did about that.
Yeah.
And all Clegg Mania did basically was stop us losing more seats.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. You know, we still lost seats. I think we lost six or something in that election. But it just kept us breathing in some of the seats that we would have lost.
Yeah.
For me, and you're being pointed more diplomatic, I think we have way too many kind of armchair campaigners who think that, you know, arguing with someone on Twitter is the same as knocking on a door.
I think you're right. I think we've also forgotten what it takes to become a community champion. You know, it's a cliche, but there are too often that I was speaking to kind of new, I'm very lucky. I got involved with the Lib Dems in Liverpool. So I grew up with, you know, that style of, you know, street campaigning that it's helped you in Preston. So, you know, Richard Kemp, the stuff that he does is the stuff that kind of I learned from, really. And so I know that, you know, if there's going to be a school closure in your ward or in your constituency, or if there is a traffic problem, that you've got to be the first person onto it. You've got to be putting on the leaflets. You've got to do the petition. I think there are too many PPCs now that would be very good at that, but they're not being trained in the skills for that.
And do you think that's maybe why we can have whatever happens in the national kind of air war sort of thing? If you're not embedded in your local community, you don't know it's about the hospital that's going to close or something like that. You are never going to win just on the big general election.
Yeah, the only seats you'll win are in the southeast, where in that commuter belt. I think it was a really good story from in our hustings. So it was myself, Zahid, who was the Labour candidate, and Mary, and traffic came up. And so Zahid, who wasn't from the area, he started trying to talk about the Metrolink and it didn't really work for him, but you know, he was kind of bumbling through. Mary started talking about air quality, government legislation on it, and it was so disconnected from everyone in the room. Mm. I came out and said, well, I get annoyed because I get stuck on Manchester Road at 8 o'clock in the morning trying to get to the Metrolink that's in Didsbury. And immediately you've got a connection because people are like, well, that's what I have to do.
And the other two parties where we have to differentiate ourselves is we don't have the same natural base of support as the Tories and Labour. So they can do waffly kind of non-answers because it isn't true. But for a Lib Dem to win, we have to have those localised connections.
Absolutely.
And if it is a big issue nationally, you have to somehow localise it.
Yeah, completely. And we still get that to this day. I mean, I never get bored of hearing like how Mark Hunter, you know, saved a school or got some resident's mom into a care home or stuff. You know, I never get bored of being told that I am the new Mark Hunter and stuff like that. Yeah,
that's not a bad label to have.
But that proves, and we still get it with Patsy Carlton as well. Mm. You know, it's another Lib Dem cliche, but I bet you everyone knows someone in Cheadle that's been helped by Patsy Carlton, and that kind of runs through, and that doesn't just help their kind of profile, but it also helps the Lib Dem profile in Cheadle as well.
So, general election's been. Gone. We've talked about how, you know, we suddenly straight back into the local fray. Mm. So what's next for you? What's next for Tom Morrison?
So we were going to have big council elections, and so in Stockport there's 26 Lib Dems, 26 Labour, 8 Conservatives. So we could have been at this moment where we took control.
Yeah.
So that has to be put into the sidelines. But actually, you know what? The thing that I was, you know, I was deflated when the news came through. It was completely the right decision. But actually what it does now is it gives us a chance to go back and start rebuilding the infrastructure, because I think everyone is tired. Yeah. 2019, you know, all our deliverers, all our clerical helpers, our activists, just tired.
I mean, we had the threat of a general election every other week, basically, in 2019. Yeah, yeah. And one of my councillors, who was a new councillor elected last year, who's done so much, he was all involved with the people's vote stuff and everything else, he just said, "I'm knackered."
Yeah,
I'm completely knackered.
Yeah, yeah.
And because we were gearing up to defend, because we, like yourself, were elected in thirds, so we're completely up again to defend this time round in May. And actually, I can probably say to him, "Look, go have a month off."
Yeah, yeah.
Just, obviously, do your casework. Yeah, yeah. Do your casework. don't just not respond to people. But it looks like maybe council meetings will be postponed as well. It looks like, so there's an opportunity here for you to have a break.
Yeah. I think this is a chance to, and also I think that because of the threat of elections and constant elections that we've had, that there hasn't been a chance just to kind of plan and go, right, where do we want to be in 4 years' time?
And that's what you've got to, I suppose, you've got to do now, because obviously selections will need to take place. It's not guaranteed you'll be the candidate for Cheadle next time, so there's a proper process to go through. But you and the Cheadle team will be able to think, okay, where do we go from here?
Again, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Take the learnings from the defeat, and then what can we do to improve it? Exactly. Do we need more canvas data? Do we need more delivery infrastructure? Or whatever we need, and then go out and find it. And one of the things I'm going to do, actually, with my this kind of break with no local election, I've worked out this is the first time I won't be fighting in some sort of local election or like trying to get a thing since about 2008.
Oh my word.
So it has just been a bonkers like kind of decade. This is when Richard Kemp will probably, "I've been doing it for 40 years or something like that."
That's it. Yeah,
2008, who do you think you are?
Yeah, I was 50 in 2008 or something like that.
What I'm going to do is actually I'm going to go round and take the time to go and speak to all our members and supporters. Now, we don't have masses in Preston. We have a couple of hundred, which is healthy.
Yeah.
But actually go to them, see how they're doing, and try again, get ready for the next challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Re-engage. I think that's, absolutely. Take a break. Number one, I think Carl and I are going to go and find somewhere hot to, stay in. Obviously, that's not in Central Europe. I think just planning and rebuilding and as you say, engaging the members. I think we had an idea our last exec of kind of getting members together to talk about, we've got a conference in September, if Cheadle are going to put through a policy, trying to engage them on other things rather than could you deliver more leaflets.
And I don't think we do that particularly well as a region either.
Yeah.
You know, and that's no insult to anyone in the regional exec, because I'm not on it, and things like that. But it's just the fact that, I think sometimes it can feel in the Lib Dems, it's London and then the rest.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And actually, what we want to do is actually make sure, and that's part of the reason, I mean, I'm part of this Northern Liberal network that's being set up to try and get a kind of distinctive policies and voice to the North, because we can't just be a party of London and Scotland.
Yeah, yeah, we can't, no.
And what will happen is when you get when the Labour Party isn't challenged, you get things like this general election where the Tories can just sweep through. Or if it's not the Tories, it'd be UKIP or BNP past or something like that. Mm-hmm. If we're not that voice of opposition, then something uglier will come along.
I cannot add anything to what you've just said. I completely agree with all of that.
Right, well on that on that bombshell, we will call an end to this first podcast. We're going to do another one with Tom about where we want to see ourselves with the future of the party going forward. Willing or winning?
Winning.
Oh, right, there we go.
Willing to win.
Yeah.
So thank you so, so much for listening. Again, do go follow Tom on Instagram. Are you on Instagram, actually? I just made that
I
up.
Am, yeah. I don't know what it is. It's Tom Morrison something.
And they'll find you. They'll find you. Yeah. And Twitter and Facebook and everything else. Just thanks very much for your time today,
Thank you for having me.
It's very, very nice. I noticed, though, you got a wine by Stellenbosch, which is a very fancy region of South Africa, which I actually visited.
Oh, really?
It's well worth it.
So Carla chose that. She has a habit of, she picks good wines. She's brilliant at that.
Well, that's a good trait for any partner to have. So thank you very much for listening, everyone. Do subscribe, do rate us, do share us around. We're still getting lots of new people coming to the podcast. And just thank you very much, Tom, and we'll be back for another episode very soon.
Looking forward to it.